Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 43 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the kooky creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic. And Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now, I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit. And you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com. And I have put a link to it on the description page of this episode back at Blog Talk Radio. And today is the very last day of 2013, the very last Hippie Witch episode of 2013. Yay! And as I posted on Facebook this morning, if you haven't already, now is the time to lay to rest all of the coulda, shoulda, wouldas of 2013, to celebrate the hell yes I did that, and then move on to creating the kick-ass 2014 of your dreams. And since the new year is a time of possibilities and hope, big dreams and plans with very little follow-through, statistically speaking, I thought that this year I would present another way of approaching things. That's why I made the Winter Solstice module of the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year all about illumination, illuminating what is, illuminating what could be in terms of the feelings you would like to have, gratitude, all of that. I made it instead of about being Christmas, Hanukkah, you know, those holidays, I made that module more about the new year and how we can launch into this year in a more gentle, present way. And it's also why I'm spending these last two episodes of Hippie Witch talking about fate and destiny. How do we indulge and enjoy all of the hope that's in the air around the new year, which happens to fall on new moon this year, I might add. Big fun, very exciting. So if you're like me and you see the new year as a time to make new intentions, it's kind of perfect that it would be falling right on the new year as well. New moon for the new year. So how do we honor that without becoming just another statistic in the long line of tradition of broken New Year resolutions? I personally think that taking a new tactic is in order. So that's why I've been talking about these different things, why I made the Winter Solstice module about what I made it about, more about the New Year than Christmas, and or Yule. I just say Christmas because I feel like that's the predominant celebration. I notice a lot of people that celebrate solstice and Yule, they also celebrate Christmas as well. And I've even noticed quite a few people who celebrate Hanukkah celebrating Christmas. So I don't know, that's just a big commercial holiday. But nonetheless, I wanted to focus on the new year and how the solstice is the birth of a new solar year. So last week I was talking about fate as a container for your soul's destiny. And you can go back and listen to that show if you haven't listened to it already. I wish I would have fit more into the show. I feel like I did a lot of rambling in the first 15 minutes and that the good stuff is in the second 15 minutes. But basically what I said is that fate is the hand that you have been dealt and destiny is the way that you play that hand. And then I got into the difference between mortal fate and self-fate that you create for yourself, and talking about how you can then transform that fate into destiny. And I talked a bit about fate possibly being about limitations that have been put into your life, possibly on purpose, possibly to get you on purpose and to help you to manifest your soul's destiny. And I just think that's an interesting way of looking at it, whether you are spiritually inclined or not. It's an interesting way to look at it is if you have no spiritual beliefs and you are an atheist and you think maybe even that there's no point to us being here, working within your limitations can be very freeing in a lot of ways. And I feel like perhaps the message I gave out last week, maybe it might have gotten misconstrued in terms of me saying you can never move beyond your limitations. So I wanted to do this follow-up show to say, yes, you can, but do you want to? And what kind of limitations are worth moving beyond and pushing past? So like in magic, we believe that we often say, and when I say magic, I'm including the law of attraction, you know, anything is possible and that there are no limitations on what you can do. But yet then we do have, you know, these natural laws that we talk about that we like to adhere to. We talk a lot about the hermetic principles. So I think that's interesting. Those are some limits that we do recognize even as we're saying there are no limits. And in reading Robert Ojeda's Transforming Fate into Destiny, which inspired this line of thinking in me, and then ultimately these two shows I'm doing here back-to-back on the subject, I could do a year of shows on that book because it provoked a lot of new ideas in me and a lot of new, I had a lot of aha moments, and it really, like, shifted my paradigm in a way, in the way I see a lot of things. And I think I'm still at the beginning of that. So maybe later on in the year I'll do more shows based on some of the aha moments I had when reading that book. But something he said that's really interesting to me, he has a section in there about how we, as a culture, we have a fear of fate. You know, if you ask somebody, do you believe in fate, a lot of times they will get very almost defensive about it and say, absolutely not. I think anything is possible. And they might say that they do believe in destiny, but they don't believe in fate. And he was saying he thinks that that is a fear of death, that we have a fear of aging, we have a fear of our natural limits, and we fear death and change. And what I think you guys will actually appreciate is he then went on to talk about how that ties into how we've cut ourselves off from the divine feminine, how back in the day, cultures used to recognize a female and a masculine form of divinity. We saw the masculine and feminine in everything, and we worshipped it, and we recognized it, and we worked within that. And then as patriarchy took over and we became a more masculine, linear kind of culture, we began to degrade and depreciate the value of our planet and our women. Women became second-class citizens. The planet was, you know, here for us to use, and there were no limits on using women's bodies, using our planets, and he proposes that that is actually a fear of death and a fear of fate because the first God we experience is our mother. We come out of our mother's vaginas, in case you didn't know that. It's true, I swear it. It's weird, but it's true. Covered in blood, and our mother is our first source of food, and hopefully our first, you know, experience in the world is of our mother carrying us around, sleeping on her, being a part of her. She's kind of our whole world in the beginning. And it's interesting the way that we have rejected that in the same way that we have rejected our Mother Earth, our planet, out of this fear of limitation and fear of aging and fear of death and change and all these things we fear, this limited reality we've been born into, this feminine reality, this receptive reality. If you think of spirit as being the masculine and maybe soul as being the feminine or Mother Earth. Am I going off on a big tangent here? I don't know. It all makes sense in my mind. It makes a lot of sense when you read Robert Ojeda's book. But nature has her limits. And so does she. And so do we. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I used to. I used to be a person who was very much like, there are no limitations. If you can dream it, you can be it. If you can think it, you can do it. And maybe you even can, but will you be happy after you do? Maybe these limits are put into place as a kind of guidance system. And I think about the limits of nature and how sometimes, you know, she has her limits until she doesn't. And the first thing that always comes to mind when I think about that is, you know, that popular example that we often give about, you know, you can't lift a car. You can't just walk up and lift up a car, typically. But a mother who sees a car roll on top of her child all of a sudden has this superhuman strength and can lift the car up off of her kid so her kid can crawl to safety. And I think that's a really neat example of how nature has her limits until she doesn't. So I think there's always the possibility of moving beyond your limits, but I also think that they are put there for a reason and put into place. And it's interesting, too, to think about how many people in the New Age movement, how many witches, how many law of attraction practitioners are so into astrology. Because really, when you think about astrology, that's about fate. That's trying to ascertain your fate. That's trying to figure out, you know, under which configuration of celestial beings were you, you know, born under or born onto this planet during, and how does that affect you? How does that affect your future? How does that affect who you are, your personality? That's so much to do with fate. And that's another thing that really clicked into place when I was reading Transforming Fate into Destiny. I really got to have Robert Ojeda on Every Which Way because I've talked so much about him, and I would love to introduce him to you guys face-to-face and, of course, just to get to talk to him myself. I know he's very expensive to get, like, a reading from. He does intuitive readings. But maybe I could get him to have a conversation with me. That would be pretty cool. But getting back on topic of what your limits might be, if you think about just your physicality, just your physical being here on the planet as a form of your mortal fate, whether you believe you chose this physical body or not is beside the point to what I am trying to say. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but it's you. You are you. You have the body you were born into. And for the most part, there's not a whole lot you can do to change it. We have plastic surgery. We have hair dyes. We have colored contacts. And people try to, you know, change the way they look all the time. You can lift weights. You can eat a whole bunch and put on a bunch of weight. But essentially, you're working with the same, you know, building blocks. So if you think about it in that way, maybe your mortal fate is setting a limit on what you can do because you have a purpose here on Earth, and that limit is put in place to keep you directed toward that purpose. So for, like, say, for example, you want to be a high fashion model. There is a height and a weight requirement for being a high fashion model today. You can fudge those boundaries a little bit. You know, you can say, yes, yes, but Kate Moss, she was only 5'7", when the height requirement is usually 5'11". You can fudge the boundaries a little bit, but if you are 5'4" and naturally stocky, you probably aren't meant to be a high fashion model. You can try to challenge the status quo, and that could be really inspiring for you and other people, but that's still going to probably take on a different form than what you might envision when you're a little girl imagining yourself on the cover of Vogue. Robert Ojeda gives the example of him wanting to be a gymnast, and he was good at it. I relate to this because I was a gymnast, and I quit for similar reasons. He was good at it until he says, I forget, somewhere in his teens, he got to about 5'10", and he knew that there was only so far he was going to be able to go because of his height, and he ultimately grew to be 6'1". And he uses that as an example of how his physicality actually could have been put in place as a guide. You know, he wasn't meant to be a gymnast. That wasn't for him. I grew to be too long and bony and gangly myself. And it was interesting because I did very well in gymnastics, and my family was very disappointed when I quit. I wasn't, but they were, and they still bring it up to this day. My dad does. But that was not meant for me. I was not meant to be a gymnast. I was meant to do something else. And my physical body was not in alignment with that. And so I could fight against that and struggle and be like, no, I'm going to the Olympics. Or I could accept my physical limitations and go somewhere where my natural abilities and physicality better served. You know, there's cultural limits, and you might think those are bullshit. You might see, you know, being a high fashion model as a bullshit cultural limit, and you might choose to challenge that. And when I think of that, I think of someone like Oprah, Queen Oprah, as I like to call her. But she still is, but when she started her career, she was a large black woman from the South in the 60s. You know, she came from extreme poverty, and she was raped and physically abused. She endured incest at the hands of a cousin. Is that considered incest? And was pregnant, lost her baby, and then went on, you know, to change the whole game and open the doors for so many other people to come in behind her. And now one of the most wealthy women in the world, one of the most important leaders, man or woman, one of the most influential figures we have is a large black woman from the South, in the, you know, from the 60s South, which was a whole other time and a whole other mentality. So maybe her soul purposely came down into this dimension, into those circumstances, into that body, that color, that gender, to help usher that change in, to be a part of that change that allowed us to one day have a black president, you know, to allowed us to open up a magazine and see multi-colored images of all different kinds of women. I think that's possibly, that was part of her fate, and she learned to work within her fate to create her soul's destiny, to live a life of purpose, and push beyond the limits. But I think that's when discernment comes in, and you have to be able to know which limits are meant to be pushed and which limits are meant to be worked within. Obviously, I think a lot about disabled children because my son has autism. I think I've talked enough about that lately. but his disability has affected my life and what I could do. I could have left him behind and done a whole lot more of what I wanted to do, of what my ego wanted to do, but I accepted the limitations of autism. For example, I want to be here for my son when he gets home after school, but that's a big limitation for me in terms of what jobs I can take or how hard I can go out into the world pursuing my career. So I accept that limitation and I work with what I've got. I work from home. I use the internet. I use the telephone. I use my video camera and I work with what I've got. And it's turned out to me, in my opinion, that I'm right on purpose. This feels purposeful to me. I feel like I'm being of service. I'm doing something I enjoy and that other people enjoy. And I might have missed out on this, and you all might have missed out on this, if I would have dumped my son off at Grandma and Grandpa's house and gone off into the world to try to be a big, bad, fabulous movie star. So it's about going with the flow instead of struggling against it, and seeing maybe what the limits of your fate have in store for you, what surprises it might have in store. You can struggle to get what you want, and we are, like I was saying about us being a culture that is afraid of fate and death and fear, you know, we fear change and all of that. We're also a very self-entitled culture, and I think the New Age movement really promotes that. We will not be denied. If I want it, I will have it, damn it. And so many of our movies and our music and the messages that are put out in the world are about that. But you really need to check in with yourself and make sure if you're coming from a place of ego or if you're coming from a place of soul. Ego? That was weird. Ego! And, I mean, you can spend a lifetime trying to discern between ego and soul, but they have very different feeling tones to them, and it's worth going there and doing the work to be able to tell the difference. And, you know, the ego is so much about fear sometimes. And I'm not saying that ego is bad, by the way. I'm not one of those people who says you need to get rid of your ego. No, no, no. Your ego is there for a purpose. Your ego is totally necessary to being and operating here on planet Earth. But your soul is the part of you that is eternal. Your soul is you, and your ego is temporary. And so having goals that are in alignment with your soul is going to be how you're going to get that feeling of being on purpose, that feeling of being of service, that feeling of being a meaningful life and contributing to other people's lives. Whereas if you're just coming from an ego place, you might be able to struggle to get what you want. You might be able to push beyond your limits. You could push yourself into position only to find yourself unfulfilled. There's so many stories. How many stories have you heard of people that finally make their millions and then they end up depressed and blowing their heads off because they feel so unsatisfied? Celebrities, we have so many famous stories of people who, you know, they get to the top of their game. They get everything they ever wanted, the money, the women, the glamour, the fame, and then they kill themselves. They're so unhappy. They pushed beyond the limits. They got to where they wanted to go, and it was completely unfulfilling to them. And I'm not even saying they weren't on their soul's purpose. Perhaps they were. I don't know. How do you argue that Kurt Cobain or Jimi Hendrix weren't living their soul's purpose, you know? That's pretty hard to argue. Not that I know Jimi Hendrix didn't purposely kill himself, but I think that that kind of addiction is, in a way, a slow death, a way of slowly killing yourself and feeling a dissatisfaction with life. But maybe they were on purpose. These are things that God knows, if there's a God. I don't know. I'm just riffing on some ideas today and sharing them with you as maybe a different way of thinking about your life, thinking about the limitations. Are you pursuing a goal because you want what someone else has? Does it look really cool? You see that person online and they have this cool business and you like the way you do it, so you decide to like copy them and start doing it too. Or maybe you're doing what you think you should want to be doing, the infamous shoulds. You're pursuing what your father or your mother wants for you. That's a really common scenario. What will you think? What are you doing? What you think will make you more impressive to other people? Those are all good signs that you're coming from a place of ego, and that, yeah, you might push beyond those limitations and you might actually get somewhere. You might manifest what it is you are trying to bring into manifestation, but are you going to be satisfied when you get there? Are you going to have a sense of being on purpose, or are you going to have to start right back at square one? And sometimes life will keep like ping, ping, pinging you, you know, with little like shots of fate, injuries, you know, sudden misfortunes and things, I think, to guide you like, whoa, you're off course here. Let's go this way. And it might not necessarily be cruel. It might not necessarily be a bad thing in retrospect. It feels bad in the moment. But maybe if you can just say, okay, I'm going to go with the flow of this. I'm going to see where this takes me. If you can release the need to resist and to struggle and thrash about, I'm guessing it's going to be a lot more gentle of a process through whatever challenge you're being taken through, and you might get to the other side where you actually see the purpose in it. And there are benefits in your limits. You know, your limits, they force you to think outside the box. They can give birth to outrageous creativity and daring. They can help you to think of novel ways to do something that has already been done to death. The interview that I was just doing, I'm jumping around a bit, but now my mind is... I'm getting excited, of course, as I always do, right as I'm running out of time. The interview that I just did with Julia Martin, it's not like my most flashy interview, but I think what she had to say was really valuable, and I hope you'll listen to it, because we talked about, we met each other through a community that was about the law of attraction. Co-creating our reality is a community where people, they do a 100-day challenge and they set, you know, goals of, they're going to use the law of attraction to manifest things into their life. And you give yourself 100 days, and then there's a community to support you as you go through the whole experience. It's a really cool group of people. But she was talking about how she manifested everything she wanted to. She got everything she wanted, and then she felt like maybe she didn't want it anymore, or that was just overwhelming, and so she decided to just pull back on the conscious manifestation and to just settle into what she had already created and to let life unfold as it will. And I definitely think there's something to be said about that. And it, for those of us that have been practicing magic and the law of attraction for a long time, it might be interesting to spend a year, to spend 2014 exploring that and being like, okay, I'm going to be with what I've already manifested in my life. And I'm just going to let the universe present the twists and turns of this year and the gifts as it will, and I'm just going to be open to receiving that. And then I think, you know, limits that you should be concerned with, which is why I named this show Moving Beyond Your Perceived Limitations, those limits are your own limiting beliefs, your self-sabotaging behaviors. It's about moving beyond self-doubt, insecurity, old paradigms, and outmoded belief patterns. You know, you have your limitations, which, let's face it, you may not be able to learn until you've tested the boundaries, but then you also have your perceived limitations, which aren't even really there. They are figments of your imagination, a product of your worst fears, programmed beliefs left over from childhood, beliefs that do not serve you, beliefs that are meant to be challenged. So how do you know the difference? That's a very good question. I think if you get present to what is and you get into the feeling of acceptance and then move from acceptance into gratitude, I think you'll begin to just naturally be able to tell the difference. I posted on Facebook when I was announcing this show was going live in 30 minutes, so this little picture of a penguin who's got his little wings spread and he's walking through the snow, and it says, until you spread your wings, you'll have no idea how far you can. The penguin knew he could not fly, but he's willing to test his limits in other ways. He's willing to see how far he can walk. And I just thought that was such a cute example of what I'm talking about here today. You know, he knew his fate. He knew his mortal limits, but he was willing to push the limits within that container to see how far he could go. So, yes, maybe you lost both legs in a car accident and your dreams of being an NBA player are shot to hell. But you're still naturally athletic and thrive on competition, so where do you go from there? Do you let life pass you by? Do you sit around in a hospital bed or on the couch at home feeling depressed and, you know, reliving the past in your mind and growing bitter at what you can't do anymore? I don't know. Maybe that limitation, as hard and difficult and challenging it is, maybe it was put into place because you were meant for some sort of greatness. Maybe your life was meant to inspire people in other ways, deeper, more profound ways. Maybe you are meant to take your natural talents and interests and push the boundaries of the physical, get fitted for a, you know, sport-ready wheelchair, and join a quad rugby team. People do it. Have you seen it? It's so cool. And if that's not inspiring, I don't know what is. Watching people work within the limits of their physical body to challenge the status quo and live, really, really live, it's inspiring. It's inspiring to the people on the sidelines, and it's inspiring to the people doing the limit pushing. So I ask you, where in your own life has the universe put a seemingly insurmountable limit into place? If you were to look at that as a benevolent form of guidance meant to direct you toward your soul's purpose, what would you do? How would you play the cards you've been dealt? In what way can you honor fate while moving beyond your perceived limitations in 2014. I challenge you to really think about that and to put it into action. You know, we always say, this is the year I'm going to make it happen. This is the year I'm finally going to blah, blah, blah. Is it really? Did you say that last year and the year before that and the year before that? Maybe taking the emphasis off manifesting more things into your life with magic and the law of attraction and focusing instead on where you're at and what the universe has already given you to work with and going with the flow, maybe that will produce more satisfying results for you. Maybe letting gratitude and acceptance be your guides rather than the desire to create more and more and more, maybe that'll be a way to naturally move beyond your limits. And I hope that you do, and I wish you a very happy new year. Here's to a kick-ass 2014. Much love. Peace.